wait another minute.
Okay.
Has joined.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll be starting in about 30 seconds. Shemi food to Jabri Fu Ishkin baby, Kilo, Urkimu, Udkilu, Udkilu, Urkimu, Leata, Lashem, Yudhe Bavate, the Yehuda, Shalim Bashem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah, Laehino Amadunaya Lohino, Elena Maseya, Dana Kurdeo, Lena Maseya, Dana Kurdeo. Today we will be studying the second Aliyah from Parashat Yitro. Second Aliyah runs from Exodus chapter 18, verse 13, and completes at verse 23. This is a total of 11 verses, and we know the number 11 is significant in two ways. One, it represents the 10 Sephirot plus the negative system, all of creation. And the other is it represents the 13 components of the Ketoret, the incense offering that brings us closer to Hashem. Verse 13. Vayehi mimacharat. Vayeshev Moshe lishpot et ha'am. Vayamod ha'am al Moshe min haboker ad ha'arev. Verse 14. Vayarchotein Moshe et kol asher hu ose la'am. Vayomer mahadavar haze asher ata ose la amadua ata yoshev levadecha v'kol ha'am nitzav alecha min boker ad arev. In this verse, number 14, we have the ninth usage of the word chotein, which translates as father-in-law. We discussed yesterday, I couldn't remember whether there were nine times that it was used or 11. I've since discovered that it's 11. In the first two aliyot,
has joined.
And three in the second aliyot. And we just discussed the number 11 representing the Ketoret, drawing us closer to Hashem. And if you look at this spelling, het, a missing vav, af, nun. And we know that the last two letters using the Yad Vash translation, or the Atbash substitution, the Taf becomes an Aleph and the Nun becomes a Chet, spelling the word Ach, which means brother. Father-in-law is the brother. This is the relationship of Cain and Abel. Is that as their tikkun, because they need to correct the action of the death, of killing of Cain, killing of Abel by Cain. Part of it was corrected with the giving of Zipporah, and we discussed that in the first verse of Yitro yesterday. But now if we look at the first two letters, you have Chet and the missing Vav. The missing Vav means that the word is not yet complete. But there's a Vav there. Chet and Vav have a gematria of 14 representing King David and the level of Malchut, which represents manifestation. So Chotain actually can be perceived as the manifestation of brotherhood, of brothers. Moving on to verse 15, which is Tetzav. Vayomer Moshe lechotno. This is the second time the word father-in-law is used in the second Aliyah, but it's the tenth time it's used in the Tuva Aliyot. Ki avo elai ha'am lidrosh Elohim. Ki elachem davar ba'elai v'sa tefiti bein. Ishuvein re'ehu v'chodati et chukei. Hi Elohim v'yet Toratav, v'yomer Chotein. This is the 11th usage of the name father-in-law. Moshe elav lo tov hadavar asher ata ose navo ki bol gamata gam ham haze asher ima ki kaved mimcha hadavar lo tukel tukalas hu livadecha ata shema bekoli yatzcha vayehi Elohim imahaye ata la'am mul ha'Elohim v'heveta ata et hadevarim el ha'Elohim v'tizcharta etchem et ha'chukim v'et ha'torot v'hodata lahem et ha'derech yelkuva v'et ha'maaseh asher yasun. V'yata techeze mikol ha'am anshe ha'il yire Elohim anshe emet shone vatsavisamta alechem sare alafim sare meot sare hamishim v'sare asarot v'shaftu et ha'am b'kolet v'chayakol ha'davar ha'gadol yaviyu elecha v'kol ha'davar ha'katon yishpetu hem v'hakel me'alecha v'nasu itach imed ha'davar hazeh ta'aseh v'tzivcha Elohim v'yakalta amod v'gam kol ha'am hazeh al mekomot completion of the Hebrew reading. Now for the English translation. Chapter, verse 13. It came about on the next day that Moses sat down to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from the morning until the evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw what he was doing to the people, he said, "What is this thing that you are doing to the people? Why do you sit by yourself while all the people stand before you from morning till evening?" Moses said to his father-in-law, "For the people come to me to seek Elohim." And we know that Elohim means a God of judgment. So Moses is saying, the people are coming to me to seek judgment. If any of them has a case, he comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor. And I make known the statutes of Elohim and his teachings. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing you are doing is not good. You will surely wear yourself out, both you and these people who are with you, for the matter is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone. Now listen to me. I will advise you, and may Elohim be with you. Represent the people before Elohim, and you shall bring the matters to Elohim. And you shall admonish them concerning the statutes and the teachings. And you shall make known to them the way they shall go, and the deeds that they shall do. But you shall choose out of the entire nation men of substance, God-fearers, men of truth, who hate monetary gain, and you shall appoint over them leaders over thousands, leaders over hundreds, leaders over fifties, and leaders over tens. And they shall judge the people at all times, and it shall be that any major matter they shall bring to you, and they themselves shall judge every minor matter, thereby making it easier for you, and they shall bear the burden with you." It's, please note that in verse 21, which I've read, that's where Yitro is telling Moshe to appoint leaders over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. In essence, four levels of judges prior to reaching Moshe. Essentially, there are five levels of judgment in the Torah. This is not surprising because it's the four letters of Hashem's name, but it's also the five levels of the Sephirot, and it's also the five worlds. And the last verse, number 23, which I have not yet read. "If you do this thing, and Elohim commands you, you will be able to survive, and also all this people will come upon your place in peace." That's the end of the English reading. Does anybody have any questions?
Hanok, I have a question.
Go ahead, Brandy.
I knew of the four worlds, but what is the fifth world?
The fifth world is Adam Kadmon.
Okay. I gotcha.
Do you need the English translation?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. But just for other people who may not be as aware as you are. The fifth world is a primordial codbone. It's the primordial world. And it represents the first level beneath the endless world. It represents the Keter. And generally speaking, we find very little people, very few people, who are able to make that connection in this 7,000-year cycle. Let's continue our study of the Perek Shirah.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you for the question. We are in the fourth chapter, and we are in paragraph number 12. Agur Omer Hodu Adonai Yohewahe Adanuyo Yohahe Dawanuhe Yo Bekinor Benevel Asor Zamrulo. This is a verse from Tehillim. The crane is saying, give thanks to Hashem with the lyre. Make music for him with the 10-stringed harp. If you know anything about music, a harp has more than 10 strings. A guitar has generally 4 strings, sometimes 6 strings, sometimes in unusual situations, there is an 8-string harp associated with King David. But the 10-string harp is not well known, and it's no longer being used in our generation. The crane has a different name than Agur. The crane is known as the Chesed bird. And it's called a chasada or a chasada. The crane is saying, give thanks to Hashem. The crane is not a kosher bird, but it has the name of chesed. So what is going on? The energy of the crane is that they mate, and when they mate, they truly take care and share the burden of the raising their children. That's why it's called connected to Chesed, because it demonstrates care of the children, just the same way that the vulture did in the previous verse. But it's also saying, give thanks to Hashem with the lyre. Make music for him with the 10-string harp. A lyre is like a guitar today. And as I said, there are multiple strings, different levels of the lyre. King David had a lyre on his wall that at midnight it would wake him up, because the north wind would come at midnight, meaning the judgments had been completed or the judgments were moving to the level of Chesed, and Hashem was entering the garden to study, and that harp would wake him up. So that's in a verse in Tehillim in chapter 119, it's verse 62, if you want to take a look at it. So I don't think that that it's the crane that this verse is talking about. It's talking about another bird. I don't know the meaning of this bird or the real name of this bird, which the Hebrew name is Agur or Azure. But its gematria is 279. And let's see if we can come up with some connections. I don't know if I've mentioned this yesterday, but I've had some problems with my computer where I lost my all of my history. So I think this is the name of the, yes. The number 279 has words in Torah with that same gematria. One of them is a verb dealing with closing. It's in the future tense, will close. Another word is achreichem, which means after you or after you all. And the word and for, the arva, or arba, has a gematria of 279. This just gives you a sense of the relationship of the word agur and the idea of the kind of bird that is basically closing, that is aware of what's behind it. Now, I don't know which bird that is, but I think we'll get a sense of it in time. The next paragraph. Tzipor Omer Gam Tzipor Matza Bayit Udror Kein La Asher Shata Efrochecha Et Mizbechotecha Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanuyo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Tivaot Malki Welohe. This is also a verse from Tehillim, from Psalms. The songbird is saying, The songbird has also found her home, and the sparrow a nest for herself. Where she may lay her young, your altars, Hashem of hosts, my King and my Lord. Now, what do you think that the altars relate to these two birds? Neither one are used as sacrifices, so neither one is a kosher bird. We can understand why the songbird sings about itself. And the idea of a home for the songbird is different than the nest for raising children. But what is the connection between the altars of God and the relationship of God to a human being, where it says, my King and my host? This is all in the same verse. But it's really describing the concept of singing. And it's emphasizing that a song is an aspect of serving God. A song, you hear me chant the Torah of the Hebrew words. You hear me chant it from the Chumash, but I also chant my prayers. I also chant the Zohar studies. I chant whenever there is a Hebrew word. Why do I do that? Because I was taught that from my teachers and from the Zohar. Because singing is an elevated level. This is what this verse is talking about. By singing, we serve God. What about dirges? What about the, I'm missing the Hasidic word, for chanting the wordless songs that many of the Hasidic groups sing. I forget the word. It'll come to me probably tomorrow or later today. I don't want to say Nikud, but it has something. It starts with the letter N. But singing, even if you're in mourning, even if you're sad, even if you're depressed, singing elevates your mood. Even if you read a poem by singing, by chanting it, which is a form of singing. Now, I do not chant the Torah with the way people chant, the readers chant the Torah on Shabbat morning and then the other times they read. I have learned it. I have forgotten it, but I did learn it. I know things about the trope marks, but I don't use them because you feel differently every day. So, to have a structured component to your singing is a form of a lie. Sing the way you feel. Chant the way you feel. Many times the chanting seems the same from one day to the next. Sing the way you are feeling. That's the completion of our morning study. We have three more classes. We have 11 o'clock West Coast time. We have the last class in our basic series. at 4:30, a deep Zohar class, and at 7 o'clock, an essay for teaching by the Ari. I hope you'll join us for one or all of these classes. Shalom Gadol to all. Have a beautiful day.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom. Shalom Gadol.